You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams, and joining me today, as he does every day, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast. Recently, he had Ryan Leaf on the show, big-time guest. David, how you doing, man? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good, man. I started off with a little Mandalorian season 2, got to finish that bad boy, so I am fully caught up. So I did full nerd mode this weekend, all the way caught up on the Mandalorian, highly recommended on Disney Plus. Even though Disney Plus isn't a sponsor, I'm still going to shout them out because they're pretty cool. But I would say I'm a little bit sad to not get to watch Baker Mayfield play any more football this season. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not a real Browns fan. I'm probably like a lot of Sooner fans. You know, it's like, I can't really act like I'm a Browns fan, but I kind of am. So right. Now I kind of get to end this weird pseudo Browns fandom for at least a while, right? I don't have to like feel bad about being a big time fan of a team I've never really been have any history with at all. So
yeah,
but a great season by Baker, a valiant effort, but came up short.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to see those guys do well. I mean, even though I'm not an Arizona Cardinals fan or a Cleveland Browns fan by any stretch of the imagination, it's fun to see those guys do well. And especially given the season that Baker had last year, where, you know, people were starting to wonder whether he was a franchise quarterback or not, to see him bounce back under Kevin Stefanski, which I think is a really good match for the two of them. I talked about it on last week's show. I feel like it's a really good pairing because Kevin Stefanski, he's a very quarterback-friendly guy, very similar to Sean McVay. He uses a lot of play action, a lot of misdirection, just puts his quarterbacks in really good situations. So it's definitely a bummer for Baker. He went out in a tough game, tough matchup against the Chiefs. So it's funny that you mentioned that you're kind of a pseudo Browns fan, because my wife, she's not an NFL fan at all. I can barely get her to watch the NFL. But when Baker got drafted by the Browns, the only thing that she asked for was a Baker Mayfield Cleveland Browns number 6 t-shirt.
That's awesome.
Yep. So on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about something that somebody brought up to me on Twitter, and I kind of had a problem with it. So it was after Alabama won the national championship. I'm giving Nick Saban and Bama their kudos, well-deserved, because I felt like they had a tremendous season, obviously, undefeated national championship. And then somebody asked me, he basically said that this is a season that has an asterisk on it. And David, I had a problem with that, and I'll tell you why in a second, but give me your take. What do you think? Due to COVID, the shortened season, different schedules, do you think 2020 deserves an asterisk next to it?
I do not. And while I do understand the question and I do understand the thought behind it, I think that there could have been a need for an asterisk, unfortunately, had Ohio State won that football game. Because that, to me, would have been a shame, given the fact that there were teams out there like Alabama that played 13 football games. And, you know, this year, Alabama didn't get to play their pre-Iron Bowl FCS, sacrificial lamb. So they actually played a pretty solid schedule, and they went 13-0. So I think a 13-0 team, I mean, we just talked about the 20-year anniversary of the 01 Orange Bowl national championship team that went 13-0. So there was a time where 13-0 was like the pinnacle. So I understand we're in a different era here, but 13-0 looks pretty good. And I feel like, yes, if Ohio State had won, going 8-0, they're 8-0 national champion. Again, it had everybody played 8 games, that might have also been a conversation. Do we put an asterisk by it? But there were teams out there that played enough football games for there to be a clear-cut national champion. And really, we're splitting hairs here to say, like, okay, so what did Alabama need to do? Did they need to be 15-0? Or is 13-0 emphatically beating everybody that they played enough? And I think that, to me, it was enough.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It really bothered me, actually, to hear somebody say that, because I thought everybody had to deal with the same COVID situation. Everybody had to deal with different protocols. Everybody had to deal with contract tracing, you know, guys getting sat down for COVID for a week or two. And Alabama handled it better than anybody else throughout the season. They went unscathed and they survived. I mean, Oklahoma, for the most part, went unscathed, but they still ended up with 2 losses. you know, to me, it's, I don't know. I'm not a Bama fan. I'm not here to glorify the Crimson Tide at all. The Crimson and Creed, maybe, but not the Crimson Tide. But I really don't like it when people try to take something away from, you know, a season that was so good for them. I mean, again, this is not Locked On Crimson Tide. This is not Locked On Bama. You're not here to hear us talk about Alabama. But I think even if Oklahoma had won the national championship, I wouldn't have argued that this season deserves an asterisk. Even if Ohio State would have won, I think we might disagree on that. I think even if Ohio State would have won, I might have had a lot of questions like, hey, you didn't have to play as many games. You're definitely a lot fresher of a team. But still, they did what they had to do and they won a national championship. I think, you know, given the circumstances, honestly, if you're going to put an asterisk by it, you're going to say, hey, they did even more than what they might normally have to deal with. So like, even more kudos needs to go out to Alabama for what they were able to accomplish in such a weird football season.
Yeah, and that's where I actually land as well. That was, I'm glad you brought that point up also, because the thing is, to me, you could actually make a case to say that going 13-0 in this type of environment with all the things they were dealing with and not being able to go out there and play in front of 85, 90,000 people in Tuscaloosa, not being able to go have this environment where you're comfortable and you're doing your normal routine, and to live in the anxiety of every single day, you don't know if you have COVID or if your buddy got COVID and you get contact traced and you don't have COVID and you miss 2 weeks of football for something you don't even have. The anxiety of that for however many months they were a part of this, going all the way back to probably July for most of them, June, July, when they were doing workouts on campus and getting tested all the time. The psychological things that all these athletes went through this year, to me, like, you can take that asterisk and you can take it in your hand and punt it to the moon for all I care, because that needs to just be out of the conversation. And I look at it the same way in the major league sports. I would say the same thing about, you know, the Dallas Stars, right? Local team here made the Stanley Cup Finals playing in a neutral site bubble up in Canada. I would say the same thing about the Oklahoma City Thunder going to the playoffs and having a great 7-game series against the Rockets in the bubble. I wouldn't put an asterisk on their performance down there, because they're dealing with different things. They're playing at Disneyland. They're away from family. They're playing in front of no fans. I'd say the same thing about the Dodgers winning the World Series. Like, they're playing in empty stadiums and neutral sites, and they're doing all this weird stuff that it's out of the realm, but everybody's doing the same thing. So at the end of the day, the games are being played. All the athletes have the same opportunities. The chips are all on the table for everybody, and whoever wins, wins. So as long as it's an equal, you know, as long as there's not, a different level of environment for everybody and everybody's not working through the same stuff, then that might be a different conversation. But every single team in every single sport in 2020 provided an entertainment avenue, an opportunity, a little bit of an escapism for people, and they sacrificed a ton to get sports back on the table. So to take an asterisk and try to throw it on anybody's championships from last year is really just, you know, trying to placate yourself for your team not being a winner. That's how I would see it. Well, if that's you and you're listening and you're offended by that, I'm sorry. But if the Sooners won the national title right now, there's not a Sooner fan, there's not a red-blooded Sooner fan out there that would even have the conversation about it being an asterisk season. So that's just let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, 100%. If you're gonna put any kind of punctuation on this season, you're gonna put an exclamation point, because they had to play football with a whole different set of circumstances than they had to in previous years. And coming up next, we're going to talk about what Oklahoma needs to do in the 2021 season to improve and put themselves in a position to potentially make the playoff and win a national championship. But before we do that, are you ready for some football? The college football season's over, but the NFL season is still going strong. We had a big divisional round weekend this past weekend, and we got the AFC and NFC championships coming up next weekend, and the Super Bowl is just around the corner. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NBA and the NHL are up and running, and it won't be long before Major League Baseball is back in action as well. March Madness is just around the corner, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're going to bet this year and you want some more wins, go listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. So go and subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
And now here on Locked On Sooners, we're going to spend a little time looking ahead to the 2021 college football season. The Oklahoma Sooners had a really good season in 2020, came up a little bit short, weren't able to make the college football playoff because of two early season losses. But let's look ahead, David. What do they need to do maybe this offseason, during the summer, during next year, to put themselves in a position to get back into the national championship picture?
Well, I think for one, there's going to be the benefit of an offseason. It looks like they're going to have an offseason. Looks like they're going to have winter conditioning, spring football, summer workouts. And you mentioned this last week on the podcast. They have been able to have a good runway of this past season to understand COVID a little bit, to understand how to work around it with protocols. So now they're going to go into it, you know, eyes wide open for the most part. So I would think their preparation could be better. I would think that any issues revolving around lack of conditioning that could have, you know, played a part in those early losses should be alleviated and should not be an excuse going forward. So to me, I think that in and of itself will take care of a lot of the things that they need to improve upon. Just the opportunity to get out there on the football field and develop some of these young guys who, especially as the season went on, whether that's the Woody Washingtons of the world, or, you know, any of these young skill players that have shown promise, a Marcus Major that had a big Cotton Bowl, these guys now they get a full offseason to go in and step into bigger roles next year. I think that's really going to be something that's huge for this team.
So let's look at the offensive side of the football. I think for me, I want to see the offensive line improve. I mean, they were good, and they were good enough for them to win a lot of games this year. But I think that there were times that they allowed a little bit too much pressure, or they weren't able to get the push in the run game that they would normally get. Teams started sitting on a lot of their, especially that guard tackle counter that they love to run. So I think I would like to see Lincoln Riley come up with a few more wrinkles in the running game and not be so reliant on that guard tackle counter, because we saw in the Baylor game that Dave Aranda just had that sniffed out. They were just ready for it and they were playing to it every time. So, as far as like tactical improvements, that's one thing I'd like to see is Lincoln Riley come up with a few more wrinkles in the running game. Maybe not be so reliant on that guard tackle counter. What do you think about the offensive line and what they might need to do?
Totally agree. The offensive line was adequate, but it was not dominant. And one of the differences I felt like this offensive line versus previous incarnations was there wasn't the same level of nasty, right? Mm-hmm. Like Orlando Brown was good for a personal foul every other game while he was in Oklahoma. And sometimes they were really stupid ones, but sometimes they were just like almost like a sympathy personal foul because he was literally just somebody. And those I can live with, right? But I feel like there were penalties this year that were happening. We're not out of violence, but out of, you know, a hold here or a false start there. And this just never seemed to be that nasty, dominant unit, even in the Florida. I mean, obviously, in Florida game, you know, they got the momentum. Florida ended up just kind of got in the fetal position late in that game. They threw in the towel and they just took the butt whipping, right? I mean, so not taking away from the performance, but I do think there was a little bit of that like snowball effect as that game went on. That guard tackle combo finally kicked into gear and they just ran it at will. But to your point, in the Big 12, these coaches have seen this play over and over and over, and there's going to come a point where they are going to have to rely upon other things. But I also feel like they're going to have to take this level of aggression up a notch. And I'm curious to see, with Creed Humphrey leaving, who's going to be the center? And I'm hoping that Chris Murray is going to step into that role or at least factor in big time. You know, the transfer from UCLA, he got eligible halfway through the season last year, never really made a huge impact, but I think he at least pushed those interior guys to play better to maintain their spots. But I think Chris Murray could be a huge part of that. I've seen him on tape. I know he's got the capability to do that, but who knows what the transfer portal might bring. Obviously, there's the big tackle from Tennessee that Oklahoma is in the top three on here. But I just think that they need to strengthen up the personnel. They need to get those guys in the weight room, get them tougher, get an edge to them all offseason, and maybe just put it back on them and say, look, you know, this offensive line was winning the Joe Moore Award as the best offensive line in the country, and we don't have that trophy this year, and there's a reason for that. So how do we get back to that? And really just put that onus back on them to say, you know, it's not enough just to be an offensive lineman here and assume you're going to go get drafted because a lot of guys have before you. You got to do the work and you got to put the tape out there, and you're not going to be able to put that kind of tape on film and get that into scouts' hands if you're not doing the work in the offseason to get to that level and get to that edge. So that, to me, I think will go a long way.
And then on the defensive side of the football, what really stood out to you as something that the Oklahoma Sooners need to improve upon heading into 2021?
I don't know if it's a improve upon as much as it is just build upon, really. I think building upon certain things like the tackling that got better as the season went on. I mean, you and I came on this podcast after Kansas State and Iowa State talking about, like, just make the easy play. Just make the play that's in front of you to make. Stop trying to go have a hit that's going to cause a fumble so you can get your turnover count up. Just go make the play and let the second or third guy be the one to punch the ball out. You just wrap up and make a tackle. You know, and I think that got better. And I think that the reliability in the secondary got better based upon the pass rush. So I think if we can maintain those things and build upon those things and get guys to buy in and say, look, this is what it looks like. This is the vision that we said 2 years ago when Alex Grinch got on campus. If we do these things, if we get pressure on the quarterback, if we are tackling in a sure tackling kind of way, and if we are covering with discipline, everything will take care of itself. So I think to me, it's just the proof is in the results that they saw last year and look back on that and say, see guys, like, we're not crazy. This vision we were casting for you wasn't crazy. It was real. It was tangible. We're going to be able to do it and we can do it even better. So let's take what we've learned. Let's, you know, they're going to go take the fine tooth comb. They're going to show them all the plays that they could have made that they didn't make. But they're also going to be able to take some of the confidence of the things they did do well and the way that they did statistically and be able to catapult themselves into 2021. So I think it's a little bit of a look back and say, you know, let's look at the good and the bad, but let's also kind of take some pride in the fact that we are starting to turn this thing around.
And it helps that you're going to have guys like Nick Bonito and Isaiah Thomas coming back. A lot of your big defensive names are coming back, and you got some really good players coming up in the secondary behind guys like Trey Brown and Trey Norwood that are heading to the NFL. And so I think there's a lot to be excited upon. I kind of like where you went with that, actually, because they do just need to build upon what they did this last year. I think it's a team that can continue to get better defensively under Alex Grinch heading into 2021. And hopefully we get to see Alex Grinch don the crimson and cream for a long time to come as well. But coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about where does this season's coaching job kind of rank for Lincoln Riley, because they had to go through a lot of different things, but they ended up with two losses. They missed the college football playoff. So where does it rank? And we'll talk about that next here on Locked On Sooners.
But now I want to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Listen, I just have been binging on some Built Bar all weekend long. I'm going to be really upfront here. New Year's resolution, not going to eat candy bars, John. I'm not going to have them. No candy this year. But guess what? These protein bars, it's not just a tagline. They actually do taste like candy bars. I had the coconut and the coconut almonds. They make them with nut and non-nut flavor. So if you don't want to have the almonds, you got an allergy, you don't have to worry. You can just take the coconut. But if you're an Almond Joy fan like I am, look, like, I couldn't tell a difference. If you blindfolded me, did the taste test, I wouldn't know the difference. I feel like I'm cheating. But these things got either the non-nut flavor, 2.5 grams of fat, 130 calories, 18 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. I mean, is this real life? I don't know, because I'm sitting here feeling like I'm cheating already and it's January on my New Year's resolution, but I was hanging on to those. The nut flavors have 180 calories. So if they got almonds or walnuts or peanuts in them, they have 180 calories. And then they've got 3 grams of fat. So you get an extra 0.5 gram of fat if you want the nuts, whatever. But still, you're 18, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. So a great breakdown, a great replacement for a meal or a supplement after a workout. And if you want some Built Bar, go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, get 20% off. I'm a believer. I'm ordering some. I'm using the promo code. So go there, Locked On, use that promo code, builtbar.com, promo code Locked On, get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com.
Hey, and before we get into talking about where this season's coaching job ranks for Lincoln Riley, I want to say a little bit about what we're going to talk about on Tuesday's show. And we're going to get into something that I saw on one of the Facebook groups as I was just kind of perusing all the things that Sooners Nation has to talk about now that there's no more football to talk about. And somebody suggested the idea that that Oklahoma look at maybe moving out of the Big 12 into another conference. And so we'll dive into that a little bit. We'll also talk about, should the Big 12 expand? Should the college football playoff expand? So that'll be a really interesting show. I love expansion talk, David. I don't know about you, but it's one of my favorite things. Even since I was a kid, I always like to reimagine all the different divisions and conferences and the NFL and Major League Baseball and stuff like that. Actually, even today, I was actually thinking, if the NFL were to expand and add 4 more teams, they'd go to six division team or conference or divisions, And how could that look? That'd be really interesting. But anyway, we'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show, because I think that's just going to be a lot of fun. But Dave, let's talk a little bit about where 2020 ranks as far as coaching jobs or coaching performances, we should say, by Lincoln Riley and his staff. I think if you look at the overall results, the two losses out of the college football playoff, one might tend to under or maybe think this was a disappointment, which, you know, obviously in the grand scheme of things, it was a disappointment. But where would you rank this as far as Lincoln Riley's seasons as a head coach for the Oklahoma Sooners?
Well, there's two ways to look at this question. Where would this team rank among his four teams versus what type of coaching job did he do, right? So to me, I can't get out of my mind the 2017 team as the best of the four teams that he's had. And that's just because I feel like that offense was so elite and Baker was so good that senior year, and the lead that they built in the, against Georgia, and the fact that they lost in double overtime. To me, like, that team, I always feel like so far is that's kind of the barometer. And even the defense got a, you know, forced a fumble, returned it for a touchdown. So I mean, even the defense got a score in that game. So that to me, I would say is probably the best team. But as far as the best coaching job, I think the last 2 years have been his best coaching job. I mean, I think what he was able to do with Jalen last year really kind of take Jalen from who Jalen kind of projected himself to be in the early part of that year of, man, there's no drop off at all. Look at his numbers. Look at Baylor, Kyler, and Jalen side by side. Look at their numbers. Jalen's actually outperforming these guys. And then, you know, the other shoe kind of dropped, and it's like, actually, we need Jalen to kind of manage these games and just run the football a lot and not trust him too much to make all these big throws we asked Kyler and Baker to make. So I feel like last year could be – I honestly feel like last year was the best job he had done out of the first 3 years. But then this season, I feel like was the real separator for him and his staff. So if you're asking me him and his staff, I would say this was the best separator, because now he's got his defensive coordinator in place for year two. The defense showed the improvements statistically that he was looking for them to do. And he took a freshman quarterback that he recruited and he developed, and he's starting to have all these skill players out there that are his guys, and they weren't Coach Stoops' guys that were left over. So I think the separator is now he's in year four, and there were still some Bob Stoops, you know, carryover into this particular season. But for the most part, I think it was him kind of really starting to put his stamp on this program, and the fact that they were dealing with all the adversity of starting 1-2, dealing with COVID, managing having your best player suspended, and the frustration of the indefinite suspension at times where we don't know if this guy's going to be eligible now or not, and having to answer all the questions about it. And I felt like the way he navigated all those things from a PR standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from the on-field product standpoint, I think all of that together for me, as I evaluate this guy, which, oh, by the way, John, is 37 years old. I mean, we're asking a lot of this guy's doing stuff that is really like 20 years beyond what I think his age shows. And the way he carries and navigates this stuff was as flawless as I felt like it could be for the most part. And you're saying, well, he lost two games. How flawless can it be? Yeah, you know what? That happened. But I think the response to it and how they finished the season, I would have to say this is probably his best coaching job.
And I kind of tend to agree with you, actually, for a lot of the things that you mentioned. You know, you're bringing in a freshman quarterback with high expectations. You're dealing with COVID. You're dealing with, you know, trying to, you know, retool the skill position players because you lost CeeDee Lamb last year. You got a group of guys that you're not sure of what's going to happen. And you didn't really have much of an offseason to get this team ready to play in 2020. And yes, the two losses, they hurt, and that's partly under coaching staff. But the way that they responded and they finished the season out, I think says a lot about kind of Lincoln Riley and the way he's able to get his guys to resolve. And like, hey, just because we lost the two games doesn't mean we're completely out of it. Things could fall right for us. We could get back in the Big 12 championship game. And if we can get back in the Big 12 championship game, there's no telling what could happen. I mean, we could still earn our way into the college football playoff depending on a few factors. But so, yeah, I would say that given all the adversity that they had to deal with this year, I would say, yeah, it's probably his best coaching job kind of top to bottom, and really for the whole staff, because, you know, a lot of turnover, missing a lot of guys through practices and trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, roll out your roster on Saturdays because of COVID and contact tracing and juggling your depth chart constantly, it seems like, and you know, probably getting more guys reps than you might have otherwise because, you know, in a normal season, you're probably only getting your, you know, in practices, your first, second, and third string guys reps. You're not getting everybody down the roster reps, but because you have to get guys ready to play because you don't know how contact tracing is going to affect your team any given week. They had to get more guys ready to play. They had to have more people available to them. And I think because they didn't really have many skill position players that kind of stood out head and shoulders above everybody else, the way that they were able to kind of do wide receiver by committee this year, I think that was just, yeah, it's just an impressive season overall. And especially the way that they finished the season against Florida. I mean, that was an absolute walloping that they put on the Gators. And again, I think that speaks to Coach Riley and the coaching job, because he kept those guys up and engaged and ready to play against a team that whose coach didn't get his guys ready to play. So yeah, I think, and then I think I agree with you too, that last season was probably number two as far as coaching jobs by Lincoln Riley, because he took a guy like Jalen Hurts, who probably most people thought that if he was going to get drafted when he was eligible, he's probably a fifth, sixth, seventh round guy, or maybe undrafted based on what he did at Alabama as a passer, because he wasn't a very good passer at Alabama. But Lincoln Riley gets a hold of him and turns him into an actual threat throwing the football and changed his draft stock into a second round quarterback. So,
yeah. And then, you know, one thing we didn't mention, or I forgot about actually, as I was sitting here listening to your side of it, was the recruiting that he did this year. I mean, they were also having to navigate virtual recruiting. And I feel like OU did a good job with their team, with Annie Henson and that team there, of really nailing their virtual visits, like the experience of what they were able to do and put together to be able to have a great class. And I know there's been a lot of complaints about the guys they didn't get, but I mean, talking about the guys they did get, like, I mean, we all have spent a lot of time talking about Caleb Williams, rightfully so, but I just went to Cowboy Stadium on Friday night down here in Dallas and watched Denton Ryan playing the state championship game. And who plays for Denton Ryan? Billy Bowman, wide receiver, cornerback. He's signed as an athlete and he's all of that and more. Okay. He is an athlete for sure, but he was committed to Texas during the season and he flipped. And that's a huge thing for Oklahoma. Okay. Like Billy Bowman can, I mean, in one game, in the semifinal game, he makes a one-handed catch down the field for about a 50-yard gain. He makes an Odell catch. And then in the same game, he has a one-handed interception. He returned 101 yards for a touchdown that got called back on a joke clip. Okay, so this guy had a one-handed pick and a one-handed catch in the same football game at Cowboy Stadium. And then I watched him have a touchdown in the state championship game. So the recruiting they've done to get these guys – oh, and by the way, Savion Byrd that they got, the defensive tackle out of Dallas – or offensive lineman out of Dallas that has NFL players down here like drooling over this guy, talking to – I've got – my co-host of Iron Horse Podcast, Brandon Carr, texted me saying, man, have you seen Savion Byrd? That guy's crazy. Oh, you got that guy? Like, you got a 13-year NFL veteran freaking out about Savion Byrd. So Oklahoma did a great job in recruiting to be able to do all the things they were doing with the team, with the protocols, with the contact tracing, with all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, by the way, we got to sign a bunch of really good players so we can keep this thing rolling. So I think that, to me, I was excited coming out of Cowboy Stadium to see Billy Bowman making plays and see him in person. Guy can, I hope they put him on the defensive side of the football. John, we got enough playmakers on offense. I hope they find a spot for him in the secondary, because that guy looks the part and carries himself like the part, had his OU gloves on out there making plays in the state championship game. It's pretty cool. But there's another guy, and this is just for fun right now, teaser. There's a defensive tackle for Denton Ryan that's a junior named Bear Alexander, four-star defensive tackle that has an offer from Oklahoma, an offer from everybody else. 6'3", 325. And the fact that OU is in on this guy, like, if you should all just go look up Bear Alexander, this dude like jumped off the field to us. We're sitting there like looking at this guy, like there's no way this guy's a junior in high school. So if Oklahoma, who's in on him, could get Bear Alexander, look out, man. Cause that's the big war daddy up front they've been missing. So some really good things happening in recruiting alongside of what they did on the field this year. So that to me is another part of it. When you talk about college coaching, it all goes hand in hand. So when you're saying what's your best year, well, we'll see how this recruiting class shakes up and see if maybe this might end up being his best recruiting class when it comes to the national ranking. Then followed up with a Cotton Bowl dominant win, the Big 12 title, and all the things we just talked about. I think to me it was the separator for him. And then, oh, by the way, John, he turned down, from what we can tell, he kind of gave the Eagles a stiff arm on their public pursuit of him. So, and I think it also says something about Lincoln Riley that we put a poll out there about the Lincoln Riley rumors, like the day they came out, to try to get the pulse of our listeners to see like, hey, how concerned are you about Lincoln Riley? And it was like 80% were like not concerned at all. It was kind of like very concerned, somewhat concerned, not concerned. It was like an 80%. Nobody was even concerned about it whatsoever. So I think the fact that he has instilled that kind of confidence in his fan base that he is here for the long haul also factors into this too. Like he's not just the guy that got handed the keys to the kingdom. He's actually seemingly very invested as well. Now he could take a job tomorrow and prove me wrong, but I think that's the perception that he's created as he's done all those other things that we talked about.
It was a very fun season, I think. I don't know about you. I had a really good time just talking football this season and talking about all the different storylines. And it was fun to watch them rebound, especially from the adversity early in the season, because it would have been really easy for them to go in the tank and lose a couple more games and have this be like a, I don't know, a four-loss season. But they didn't. They did what they had to do, and big credits to the coaching staff for keeping those guys engaged and doing, like you said, just – maintaining their recruiting edge, because I feel like they do have a really strong recruiting edge, especially over the rest of the Big 12. I mean, nobody has a bigger edge than Nick Saban right now because of all those rings he's got on his fingers. But I think Lincoln Riley probably does as good a job as anybody outside the SEC and probably anybody other than Nick Saban as far as recruiting. And like you said, big shout out to the organization that OU has in place to get these guys, you know, in or on campus or at least in the virtual visits and just showing them what it could look like to be an Oklahoma player. And so, yeah, I think we're both in agreement that this was probably their best job as a coaching staff and Lincoln's best as a head coach as well. And it's going to be exciting to see what happens this offseason and in 2021. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Sooners. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you go to Locked On Sooners on Twitter at Locked On Sooners and Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. Follow us there. Make sure you go and give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, all sorts of independent podcasting providers. So make sure you check us out. We'll be back tomorrow. Boomer.
Sooner.